Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
And once again, that's the sound of rock cracking. You've got Doc Holliday right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And yeah, politics are going hot and heavy now, and presidential politics, U.S. Senate races. I will say that the Super Tuesday this week, and then a week after Super Tuesday, so many elections going on. And wherever you have a Senate race or a Congress race where there's in the primary, the Republican primary, the conservatives get out and support your candidate. And no matter what happens in the primary, you got to get behind the Republican primary winner, because you see what happens when the Democrats are in charge of the Senate and the House, the U.S. House of Representatives. It is so like a sliver. That the Republicans have the House, just by a sliver. So this election 2024 is important for the White House, for the Senate, and for the House of Representatives. Now, we'll talk a little bit about that. Today's show, we are going to talk about the American farmer and how American agriculture is suffering from the policies of Joe Biden. When they use that term, all hat, no cattle. Well, America's becoming all hat, no cattle when it comes to the cattlemen, if you listen to what they say. So we're going to play a clip from a Fox and Friends, and I want you to hear what's going on, because it's just not being reported. And also, at the end of the show, second half of the show, there's a long clip of several minutes. But I want to play it of Attorney Harold McDougald. He's a Trump attorney. You heard of Fannie Willis and the persecution that she's putting on Donald J. Trump. But pride goeth before a fall in many cases. She's so prideful that she thinks she can spin a lie and in court tell a lie and tell many lies and just stand there in her church and just try to promote herself. You know, where's the humbleness? Where is the humbleness saying, I've made a mistake, I'm going to step down? If she really wanted this case to succeed, she'd get herself out of the way. But she wants fame, she wants power, and she wants to write a book, and she wants to be the one that brings Trump down. She is so full of pride. So full of pride. And so the second half of the show, what the Trump attorney is trying to speak before a judge and telling how Fannie Willis in Georgia, district attorney there, who is trying to take Trump down and just be a part of this political persecution of Donald J. Trump. And she's purposely trying to influence the 2024 election. And then, but she got caught red-handed in an affair, hiring an attorney that is taking her on trips. And she hired this, you know, paying what I believe over $500,000. And then he takes her on trips. Is that a conflict of interest? I think pretty big time. And yet she's trying to say there's no conflict of interest. But I want to play this several minutes long in the court last week where they're asking to dismiss the case because of the conflict of interest that the DA will not admit or will not recuse herself. And so he had 10 minutes to tell the judge why, summing up his case of why that Fannie Willis should not be left in charge of this case. And you've got to hear it. You've got to hear it. He slam dunks with the truth that it should be embarrassing. Embarrassing to everybody that works at the district attorney's office under Fannie Willis. I mean, how could they have any credibility left? I'm talking about not just Fannie Willis. I'm talking about everybody that signed a paper supporting her and her view. That was a very poor career move, I believe, when the truth comes out. So we're going to play that on the second half of the show, end the show up with that. But let me just start off by saying get out and vote. Be a part. Wherever you are, if you love freedom, you love America, you've got to get out involved. If your candidate doesn't win, you got to keep voting for the most conservative. And like I said, the U.S. Senate is just, the Democrats are hanging on by one vote. Well, and just switching two or three seats will put the Republicans in charge. Mitch McConnell has stepped down. He said he will not continue. He's stepping down as leader at the end of this year. But we need, I hope he'll go and step down. We need somebody that's fired up to get the Senate into the Republican hands. Even if it takes a moderate. I mean, I don't know. You look at Maryland, the state of Maryland, always very, very blue. But they had a Republican governor, Larry Hogan, there in Maryland. They reelected him 8 years there. Now, I don't agree with everything he does. He does not like Donald Trump. But he jumped in the race because he can win it in Maryland, in blue Maryland. And is he another Ted Cruz? Absolutely not. I don't think he's a Mitt Romney either. But I will tell you that he'll be Larry Hogan and he'll be a Republican. And if it takes that one state to win to give Republicans a 51-49 majority, then bring it on. Bring it on. Bring him in and get him into the winner's chair in the state of Maryland, because so much of this nation depends on the Republicans getting control. Now, we can cry about which Republicans and how much power and what they should be doing. But if you're not in power, you're not going to get anything done. Not a thing, because you don't set the agenda. Same thing in the House. We got to get that done. And so it's very important to you get out and vote. Get your friends and relatives out to vote. If you got a chance to vote for Donald Trump, prove that you can vote for him, and let it be overpowering elections in the primaries. Even as Nikki Haley is fading away, do not forget to go out and cast a vote for Donald Trump in all these primaries coming up. And listen, your vote, it counts wherever it is. It's very powerful. I don't care if Trump's going to win 90% to 10% or even higher. You go out and vote. Prepare yourself. Don't give the other side ways to cheat. Just make sure you get out and vote and make sure there's fair elections. Do it in the primaries and really, really know how the system works. So that November, we have a free and fair election in the United States of America. Now, saying all that, listen, let me play this clip off Fox News about Fox and Friends about cattle farmers.
Listen to this. Speaking of which, America's cattle inventory has fallen to just over 87 million livestock at the start of the year. That's the lowest since 1951. And look at this. Since 2020, the number of cows in the U.S. has fallen by 10%. Now, ranchers are warning that the shortage is going to drive up beef prices even higher. Take a look at this. In the past 20 years, the price of ground beef has increased 105%. Roasts are up 84%. Steak up 95%. John Boyd Jr. is the president of the National Black Farmers Association, and John joins us now. Look, man, you warned us this was coming. Now it is here. What are ranchers telling you about how dire this situation has gotten?
I tell you, this is a bad situation for America's cattle farmers and America, because we're producing a billion pounds less of beef than we were in this country just a year ago. And we're not investing in America's beef and cattle farmers. And Biden policies are hurting America's cattlemen, such as myself. They should be investing in America's cattle farmers and making sure that we have the tools needed to stay on the farm. You know, we have everybody stacked up against it. We got Bill Gates saying, you know, eat fake meat. And then we have the UN coming out saying not to support beef producers and eat less beef. We need to be supporting America's cattle farmers. And last night I was at the cattle market in my local township around here in Blackstone, Virginia, a very good market, I would like to add. And I saw that some of the stalls were empty. And during this time period, generally we see the cattle market is just full of livestock. And now we see some empty stalls in there. And it's because we're not producing the beef that we used to do. And I've been farming 41 years and producing good, healthy beef for America. And I'm telling you, this is a time where we should be investing in America's cattlemen, and we're not doing it. And this administration isn't paying attention to what's going on out here and the fact that the cattle count is down so low, as you just stated, since the lowest point since 1951 here in the United States. Yeah. So instead of making progress, we're actually going backwards here.
Going the other direction. How bad, John, will this get for the average American family? Specifically, will it force the average American family to cut back on their beef or eliminate beef entirely? And, John, do you think that's the goal of the Biden administration?
That's right. And, you know, Americans are going to pay the price at their local grocery stores. And we already are seeing such a steep hike in beef in this country. And it's because we're not supporting these cattlemen such as myself. The administration, the Biden administration, isn't paying attention of this national crisis. This is a national crisis for America's cattlemen. And this administration has turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to something that needs immediate attention. And I just saw where you said he's going to be going to sample food. You know, how about coming out and see what's going on at someone's beef farm today? That's what the president should be doing. And he's losing black support. And I can't hide but to weigh in on that. And it's because folks like myself who supported this guy, 130,000 members, we're not at the table on very important policy decisions that make a difference for cattlemen. We should be at the table while those policies are being discussed. Instead, we're being told after the fact, and this is how these policies are going to affect us. That's what's wrong, and you know, we need new leadership and a new direction.
I just got to jump in right here because when he said, did you hear what he said? They do not invite the cattlemen. They do not invite the ranchers, the farmers, into the meeting, into the discussions. What do you need? What help do you need? Or how can we make life better? How can we make a better industry? That is not what government officials are doing. Did you hear what he said? He said they make the policies and then they say this is what you must do. They are killing the production on the cattle farms on purpose. They do not want cattle. They want fewer and fewer cattle. They don't care if the price of meat goes up because they want people to start eating crickets and insects. And they want these farmers to shut down their cattle farms because they say that the cows make too much methane gas. Well, glory, glory, glory. My goodness. I mean, you look at the world, you look at the jets that these elite jet around in, and you're telling me the cattle on the farm make more gas than what's coming out of that jet? Come on. As Joe Biden would say, come on, man. I mean, really and truly, we have people across this world, the elites, that want farmers in Europe, farmers in America. Why do they pinpoint the farmers in Europe and America? They want the West to fail. And you know, all the polluters are on the other side of the world, Russia, China. That's where your pollution is just pouring out. And they are trying to shut down the American farmer. Oh no, they won't shut him down. No, they just want him to put, you know, to be a cricket cowboy. Huh. Raise some crickets, huh? No, we need American beef. We need the American farmer to grow. And I'm glad that this gentleman has recognized that the Biden administration is hurting black farmers, and he's hurting the black family farm. He's hurting the people who work on farms, white, black, red, yellow. This administration is strangleholding the American farmer, and it's causing higher prices. People are paying more for their food, and they are laughing all the way to the climate zone agenda, laughing at the American people. That's what the elites do. They fly across the world and then tell you, no, that cow emits too much bad gas. We're going to have to get rid of the cows. My goodness. Okay, let me let this gentleman finish up because he has some good things to say.
And someone's going to be all inclusive and to make sure that farmers like myself have a voice in the future of farming as it relates to beef in this country.
You know, it's interesting to see if he'll do something about this. It is an election year. He does want the votes. Whether he does something to change his policies, which you blame for the crisis, remains to be seen. John Boyd Jr., thanks for getting up with us. We appreciate it.
John Boyd Jr., thank you for those insights. Thank you for being a cattle farmer in Virginia. And we need people speaking out and telling. You know, during the campaign season, they'll say all kind of things, the Biden and administration. We need the real truth being spoken now. And in just a minute, we're going to hear the truth from the attorney, Harold McDougald, that I told you about. And we're going to play that clip, just let it run in its entirety. Then we'll finish up the show. But before I do, I got to just remind you, we got books, novel number one, novel number two, Hatchie, Keeper of the Secret. It's novel number one, and Hatchie, The Golden Chalice, is number two. And I am fervently working on number three, even now, as I'm putting the show together. Just got through writing another chapter in it. So working on book three, it is a series. I've told the people who are regular listeners know that, so we'll continue working on that series for fun. It's not about politics. It's not about world war. It's about a mystery, action, adventure book that a whole family should enjoy. So you go to hatchiebooks.com, H-A-T-C-H-I-E, hatchiebooks.com, and you can order one, two, or you get a special, you order both of them at one time. So go there, you know, order that book. And also, if you are paying too much for your medical insurance, if you want to see an alternative to high-cost medical insurance, right there on the written part of explaining today's show on Web Talk Radio, on Rock Splitting Politics, go there, hit where it says check here, and you can find out how you can pay less to make your family healthier, wealthier, and wiser. How about that? Now, I told you I was going to play this clip. I'm just going to play it in its entirety from the trial where the Trump attorneys are saying the entire case should be thrown out because of the conflict of interest of the district attorney, Fannie Willis. So here's the closing statements to the judge of why it should be thrown out.
I can find is Nichols v. State more than 100 years ago, 1915. The most recent, which is Stay v. State in the Supreme Court in 2010, although they don't refer to Caesar's wife. That requirement is also embedded in the prosecutor's statutory oath, 15-18-2, which requires impartially and without fear or favor discharge my duties as district attorney and take only my lawful compensation, so help me God. The general rule on conflicts of interest for lawyers is in Rule of Professional Conduct 1.7. And we all know, it's all drummed into us, that we cannot have a conflict of interest. And if we do, we have to withdraw or we will be disqualified. The basic idea is that a conflict of interest impairs the lawyer's independent professional judgment. That's the test of a conflict and whether it can be waived and whether it's disqualifying. And that conflict is not just financial. It can be any conflict that impairs your independent professional judgment. And you see that in McLaughlin v. Payne. The court asked what was a personal interest for purposes of disqualification. It's anything that impairs professional judgment. That's reflected in the ABA standards that were quoted by Mr. Merchant, which list the prosecutor's personal, political, financial, professional, business, property, or other interests or relationships. And that's really embedded in the prosecutor's oath to act impartially. And the earlier disqualification order by Judge McBurney was based on political interests, not financial. What my colleagues have described as forensic misconduct is also cognizable as a conflict of interest based on that footnote in the Williams case. The root of all of the problems that we see in this court right now is a conflict of interest arising from their individual personal interests in perpetuating and concealing their relationship. That's the original sin from which all of the other problems flow. There are six different actual conflicts of interest in this case, any one of which warrants disqualification, but collectively, practically compelling. First, the financial conflict that's already been covered. Second, the personal ambition, political ambition. Third, there's a dovetailed or complementary pattern of deceit and concealment of the relationship and the money. Fourth, the speech at the church. Fifth, the motion for protective order that the DA filed in Mr. Wade's divorce case. Sixth, the way the state has conducted the defense of this motion to disqualify, especially the hearing. On the financial piece, the court asked for a limiting principle and asked about materiality. The limiting principle is whatever impairs the independent professional judgment of the lawyer. That is applied routinely. We have a county code section that flatly prohibits gifts from contractors, period. We have, by analogy, the federal bribery statute, which has a threshold of $5,000, 18 U.S.C. 666. The court asked about burdens and inferences. The court can draw a negative inference from the state's failure to produce evidence to support the invisible magic cash balancing theory based on State v. Thomas, 311 Georgia, 407, particularly footnote 19. As to the timing question that the court asked about, there were two contracts for Mr. Wade executed after they acknowledged the relationship began, each one of them afflicted or conflicted under county and common law. The second conflict is her political ambition, for which he was previously chastised by Judge McBurney, and that's also present in this book. The inside flap of this book says that they were given, quote, exclusive access to thousands of secret documents, emails, text messages, and audio recordings. The court has twice denied defense motions to unseal special purpose grand jury materials. She helped herself to get the glory of this book. I introduced certified copies of a number of county code sections. I'm not going to walk through those, but I'll tell you why they matter. The stack of law from the state constitution down to the county ordinances imposes a regime on the DA under which she has three obligations. She has to go to the county commission to get approval to pay him like she did. She cannot accept gifts from a prohibited source. She has to disclose the gifts that she received. She evaded all of those requirements. Section 2-69 of the county code prohibits gifts from prohibited sources, which he was. There's no boyfriend exception. The disclosure forms, the evidence is sufficient for you to find that her disclosure form for 2022 is false and that it is a false writing. That's an actual conflict of interest between her duty, legal duty of disclosure, her legal duty of candor as a prosecutor, and her private and personal interests in concealing the relationship, concealing the gifts, and keeping the gravy train rolling for as long as possible. His part in the pattern of concealment, it's a story you see in many divorce cases. The husband is hiding things from his wife. How much money he's making, the other woman, and what he's spending on the other woman. And he got on that stand, lied in his interrogatories, and he got on the stand and he lied about lying in the interrogatories. And the lawyers for the DA, the DA's office, they just sat there and let him do it. They did nothing to correct obviously perjured testimony. In and of itself, that warrants disqualification of every one of them. The reason they lied and covered it up was to avoid the trouble they're in right now. That served their personal interests to the detriment of their public duties as prosecutors. The speech at the church, I want to focus on why she did that. Mr. Dillon talked about that. She did it to deflect attention from her own misconduct and that of Mr. Wade. She violated her public duty as a prosecutor to serve her personal interests and the personal interests of her boyfriend. That is a disqualifying conflict between her personal interests and her public duty that is actual, operational, and materialized, and it rests on undisputed facts. The next thing that she did that was a disqualifying conflict of interest was the emergency motion for protective order that she filed in the divorce. I filed a certified copy of that as Exhibit 37. She sought a protective order under the Apex Doctrine on the grounds that she's the DA. The whole filing is expressly predicated on her status as DA. In fact, she never lets you forget it. She says it 27 times in 12 pages. In that filing, speaking as DA, she said, the circumstances, quote, suggest that defendant Joycelyn Wade is using the legal process to harass and embarrass District Attorney Willis, and in doing so is obstructing and interfering with an ongoing criminal investigation. In the prayer for relief on page 11, she asked for 6 months to, quote, complete a review of the filings in the instant case, investigate and depose relevant witnesses with regard to the interference and obstruction this motion contends. There's no sugarcoating it. That's a clear violation of Rule of Professional Conduct 3.4H, which prohibits lawyers from making threats of criminal prosecution to gain advantage in a civil case. She abused her power. She abused her position to threaten her boyfriend's wife with criminal prosecution to gain advantage for herself and her boyfriend in her boyfriend's divorce. She violated her public duties not to make that kind of a threat in order to serve her private personal interests and those of Mr. Wade. Another actual operational conflict. The last category is the conduct of the defense of this hearing. There were a lot of objections made based on attorney-client privilege during Mr. Bradley's testimony. Most of those objections were made by the state. But the privilege being asserted does not belong to the state. It belongs to Mr. Wade. That shows that the DA's office is serving the personal interests of the DA and Mr. Wade in carrying out further concealment and cover-up of their relationship, and not the cause of justice they are sworn to serve. That is a conflict of interest. It's a continuation of the wrongful pattern of concealment and cover-up that they've engaged in since the beginning. But now they've enlisted the entire office in the enterprise. In the written response to the motion to disqualify, they said this, and I quote, "To be absolutely clear, there is no evidence that D.A. Willis derived any financial benefit from Mr. Wade." That's on page 15. Flat out false. 10 lawyers in this case put their name on that, starting with the D.A. So throw another log on the bonfire of conflicts of interest. The problem here is the DA cannot distinguish between her personal interests and ambitions on the one hand and her public duties as a prosecutor on the other, and apparently neither can anyone else in their office. Of the 6 conflicts I've identified, only one is subject to a conflict in the evidence. This is a case study in what happens when you operate under a conflict of interest. It's put an irreparable stain on the case. Think of the message that would be sent if they were not disqualified. If this is tolerated, we'll get more of it. This office is a global laughingstock because of their conduct. They should be disqualified and the case should be dismissed.
Well, you heard it loud and clear. The entire case, he said the DA, Fannie Willis, and her entire office are a global laughingstock. A global laughingstock. And I couldn't agree anymore. Wow, what a show. Glad you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We will continue. We're looking at the field of politics. Don't forget the American farmer. Bring him and her into this election cycle. How are the farmers doing under Biden administration regulations that are strangling our American farmers? Listen, Get out and support your farmer. Stand up for the farmers of this country. Let the farmers know you got their back because you're voting for Donald J. Trump. And thank goodness, the support for free and fair elections in this country, and let the truth be heard loud and clear. And that's why we're glad you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen, or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.